Good morning, child of God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, we're listening to a song on the way here. It said, This is how I fight my battles. I praise Him and I worship Him. And no matter what's going on against you, you know, the enemy's against us. The world is against us. Our flesh is against us. Sin is against us. But we have more for us. Amen. In the heavenly host. With Jesus and God and all the angels, amen. You know, just reading just this morning in the Bible in Psalms, I can't get out of Psalms right now, but it says that God knows every star in the sky, and He calls them by their name, amen. That's magnificent, amen. That's awesome, amen. There's a quintillion, jillion, billion, zillion stars. There's not even a number that you can put to it. It would have like, whatever, 21 million zeros to it or something. And He knows everyone by their name. And He knows you by your name this morning. Amen. He knows us by our name. So we want to worship Him and praise Him and lift up the name of Jesus this morning. We want to usher in the Holy Spirit. It's like I said, no matter what's going on, there's more for us. And if you're going through something, we fight our battles by praising the Lord, by worshiping the Lord. That's how we win this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, Lord God. We thank you, God, for this church, God. We thank you for this opportunity to come and lift up your holy name and to worship you this morning, Lord God. I know that I saw that church sign yesterday that said, hell is not your only option. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For whoever's out there, hell is not your only option this morning, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You made a way for us to be saved by shedding your blood on Calvary's cross. You made a way for us to be saved by the cross this morning. Hell is not the only option this morning, God, for those out there that want it, that are seeking, that are hurting, that are need someone this morning, Lord Jesus, they can run to you, Lord God. You can save them. You can heal them. You can deliver them. You can put them back upon their feet, Lord God, no matter what they're dealing with, drug addicts and alcoholics and homosexuals and homeless people and everybody that's out there in the world today, Lord Jesus, that's struggling with depression and anxiety and nervous disorders and mental health issues, you can heal them, God. You can save them. You can deliver them. You can fix them in Jesus' name, Lord God. There is no help in man or psychology, Lord Jesus, but they can run to you and you can fix the true issue, the true problem, which is a heart issue that they need Jesus Christ into their heart and be born again. You said in your word, you will take out this heart of flesh, a heart of stone, and put in a new life, Lord Jesus. You will make us whole again. You will make us a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray. Bless this service, God. We pray the Holy Spirit move mightily this morning. Amen.
watching over me. Well, you can take my possessions. You can take all my gold. Well, nobody but Jesus gonna take my soul. Well, I ain't afraid of nothing because I believe I've got a sky full of angels watching over me. Well, walking through the darkness, we don't need this earth's light. Our faith in Jesus is gonna be the
like five. As they were singing one of them songs, I was thinking about the other night we went to eat at Cracker Barrel. Michaela was at work, me and Melissa, we took Malachi, and we were, you know, sitting at the table, and this family came in a few minutes later, sat down over, you know, just beside us, and, you know, Malachi, he's wound up, he's on the table, you know, and I've got a little thing in my hand, tapping on the table, playing with him, you know, and I just happened to notice, and I kind of looked over, and the man that was sitting over, he looked over, and he just looked like real ugly at us for a minute, and I thought, here's what I thought, and I wanted to say it. I thought, if you don't want to hear no noise, you picked the wrong restaurant to come to. If you don't want to hear no noise, you in the wrong church. Amen. I said, if you don't want to hear no noise, you in the wrong church. Amen. Well, he finally buttered up to Malachi and said a few things to him before he left and played with him. I'm going to tell you, people are miserable. People are miserable, and they're going through a lot of stuff. I understand people are miserable. They prayed before they ate and everything, and I saw that, and it touched me. I was thankful for that. But, you know, people, I don't know what church people go to. I don't try to find out all that stuff, but I can tell a lot of times by watching them, being around them, what they're in, and there ain't no joy in it. There is no fire shut up in the bones. There is no power of God moving. That doesn't mean that, you know, people that do have it don't have a bad day. They do. But I tell you, at first I felt something from that man. And it wasn't a good spirit. You know, you can feel stuff from people. You can feel it from people. And I felt that, and I thought, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Under my breath, I said, you shut up, devil. I rebuke it right now. And you know, God wants to move. God wants to touch people. But that's my point was, if you don't want to hear no noise, wrong place to come. But if you want to be a part of the Acts chapter 2 bunch that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're in the right place today. If you're tuning in, you watching the right church this morning. If you want the power, amen. Some of y'all need to get that this morning. Shake it off. Shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Shake that old snake off into the fire like Paul did, amen. And just go on like you ain't been bit by anything. And praise, as Adam said, praise the Lord. That's funny you said that about Psalm, because that's exactly what the Lord has been putting on my heart more and more about our services when we're opening services, you know, getting going, reading Psalms, quoting Psalms, getting people to hear the Psalms, because they're songs that help people, encourage them to praise the Lord. Because that's what you're here to do. If you can start doing that, boy, I tell you what, other stuff will just start shaking off. It'll start clearing up, amen. We're going to take up the offering this morning and say thank you to everybody that's helping us, everybody here, everybody watching through the internet. Pray for us. Pray for our church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for the musicians. Pray for the singers. Pray for the workers. Pray for the children's church people. They need it. Adam and Lisa need that. Amen. Everybody needs it. Family needs it. Pray for people. And let's trust God to do what he needs to do in our church, in our heart, and in our life. And we believe that he's going to move today. Did you come expecting today? Did you come for something different today? You didn't come for the same old, did you? Did you come to let the Holy Ghost fire light you up, amen, and touch you and send you out that door different than what you came in? That's what we want here, amen. So we're going to pray over the offering. If you have needs this morning, come. And we want to say, you know, we went to the hospital the other day to see Michael and Julie. We prayed with them, and Melissa said she sent a message and said he is doing a lot better, maybe going home today or tomorrow. And he had a pretty major surgery, but God is with him, and the Lord's really touching him. So I told him, I said, you're going to be around a lot longer than you think, boy. You're too hard-headed to go anywhere now. But he's going to be around a while. I know that because that boy loves the Lord, and he tells people about the Lord a lot. And that's, you know, anybody, if the devil hates anybody, he hates anybody that witnesses the souls. Amen. He hates that worse than anything. So we thank God for that, because that's what it's all about. It's all about reaching souls. Amen. Let's pray and take up the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way this morning. I ask you to touch us today. I ask you to bless us, to speak to us. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus against every stronghold of the devil. I pray against every foul spirit, every religious spirit, every demon spirit that would try to hinder, try to harm, try to stop anything you're doing, Lord. God, that you would move in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch people, God, today, that you would minister to people's hearts. Lord, I pray that you heal those sick bodies. Raise up the dead, Lord, those that need a touch this morning physically, that are hurting in the hospital, Lord, sickness, infection, disease. Lord, touch them, God, right now in the name of Jesus, and cause it to dissipate, Lord. And Lord, we give you the glory, God, today. We give you the praise for it, Lord. We know that you're able, and we know that you will do it. Touch infirmities in bodies this morning. Heal those sicknesses, Lord. Dry up those sinuses, Lord. Move those headaches, those back pains, God. In the name of Jesus, you can heal cancer, Lord. We know you can, and we know you will. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
That's a powerful song. It's our testimony, the blood. Amen. Did you come to have church this morning? Amen. The weather got a little cool on us the last couple of nights, didn't it? Surprise, surprise. You never know about Tennessee. All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to John chapter 8. Ringing a little bit. John chapter 8, verse 9. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter 8, verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those your accusers? Has no man condemned you? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Stone Throwers. Stone throwers. The Lord strongly impressed this upon my heart in the middle of the week to go here to minister on this. I preached on it, I don't know, many times before. It's been quite a while. Hello, John and Angie. Is that a baby y'all just brought in? Are you serious? That baby is here? Praise the Lord. Now, don't run out after church is over. Please let us see the baby. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Amen. They were praying for a baby. I remember we prayed for them to have a baby several months back. They had a baby. Amen. Their own. Praise the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your anointing. And Lord, I ask God in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch us this morning, that you would speak to us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would move all over this world. Lord, we know the world is in chaos. There's turmoil. There's tension. Lord, there's threats from this country and that country. But Lord, you're in control of every one of them. And you can shut them up and you can shut them down. And Lord, we thank you for giving defense to Israel, God. We thank you, God, that you're going to protect them and you're going to give them power to defend themselves, Lord, and show yourself mighty no matter how small that nation is, no matter how small those people are, God, you are for them. And when you are for someone, no one can be against them. And Lord, we thank you today for what you're doing. I pray, God, that you would move all over this world, move in this church this morning, move through the internet, God, people that are watching, Lord. I pray that this word would touch people. I pray that it would convict people. I pray that it would challenge people, Lord, to look to Jesus Christ alone. And, Lord, to not focus on anybody or anything else but you. We thank you this morning and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Bible said that Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, as he did many times, where he stayed the night. And early in the morning, this was his habit, early in the morning, he would get up. I believe he would seek the Father. He would pray and find direction from God about his day and to try to, you know, seek God about what to do, where to go. And this particular time, the Bible says that He felt led to go to the temple early in the morning. Now, some of y'all know why we come to church on Sunday morning. And that ain't too early. He was up a whole lot earlier, I promise you. And early in the morning, it said all the people came to him in the temple. They sat down and he began to teach them. He began to minister the word to them. He began to explain to them who he was, I believe. I believe he explained to them what his purpose was, that he was the light of the world, the light of life, the way, the truth and the life, and he was trying to expose himself to the people to get them to come away from this mindset of law keeping and commandment keeping to come to him, because the scripture says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. And I believe he was trying, this is what he was doing. He was trying to reveal this to the people because he knew that it wouldn't be long that there would be a new covenant enacted. He, matter of fact, he was the new covenant. They were looking at the new covenant, the one who would be sacrificed on the cross so that people no longer would have to go to the temple. They would no longer have to go offer a lamb for a sacrifice, but they could come straight to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ and have access and boldness and power. Come on, somebody. I know it's Sunday morning. If you don't want to hear no noise, you come to the wrong place. And it said they all the people came to him. Many people, they surrounded him. They were pressing. They wanted to hear. They wanted to see the things he was doing. He was doing good things for people. Jesus never caused harm to anybody. He always did good for everybody. And he's still the same today. He ain't looking to kill you. He's looking to give you life. He ain't looking to knock you down and kick you out. He's looking to pick you up. He's looking to show you some grace, show you some mercy. Because law, that all law brings is condemnation and judgment. But grace and truth brings mercy. And they came to him and said he taught them. He was explaining to them that he was the way of eternal life now. And the scripture says that the scribes and the Pharisees, this is a really interesting story. As he's teaching the people, and imagine a crowd of people in the temple. I don't know how many people, let's say a few hundred maybe. They were pressed in there to hear him, a lot of people. And all of a sudden, there's a commotion going on while he's teaching, and there's some yelling, there's some screaming possibly, there's some humiliation, as the Bible says that scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman that was taken in adultery. The Bible says that it said that she was caught in the very act. I still hadn't figured that out. I still have not figured out how these religious idiots caught this woman in the very act. I don't get it. But the scripture says she was taken in adultery, and that means that they laid hold on her. They took her by force. They didn't, you know, just say, honey, you've done some things wrong and we think that you should come and confess them and ask for forgiveness. No, you have broken the law and we're about to make an example out of you. You have done something wrong, and we're going to put you to the test, and we're going to put your so-called God to the test. The one that says he's the Messiah. The one that says he's the Savior. The one that says he believes in the Word and he believes in the law. Well, we're going to find out what he has to say about what you've done. They dragged her. They took her by force. Now imagine this. These religious leaders, men that are supposed to be close to God, who are supposed to know how to show grace and mercy to people and help people. Look, grace does not ignore sin, but grace overlooks sin at times. God does not ignore any sin in anybody's life. He knows if it's there. But you better be thanking God that He's full of grace and mercy. And while you're being washed in the blood, while your faith is in Jesus, He doesn't come down with a hammer and send you to hell and kick you out and beat you up. But He shows you mercy while He's waiting on you to let Him change you, let Him deal with you, let Him work with you, because God has a lot more patience than we do. Right? They set her in the midst. Now think about this. They drag her by force and they bring her in the midst of this crowd, right in the midst of where Jesus is teaching. They clear people out. And there's two things that the scripture says that their intent was. To, number one, humiliate her. And number two, to test Jesus. To tempt Jesus. To find out if He will hold fast to the law. If He'll keep the commandments. If He'll enforce the commandment of God. We got those people in the church. They're all about enforcing commandments. And they have no grace and mercy. They love to enforce commandments. They love to point out somebody else's something. But they have no grace and mercy for people because they don't see their own self-righteousness and how much they need to be changed just as much as the one that they're trying to set in the midst to make a mockery of. They brought her for the purpose of humiliating her. And they said to Him, they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. This woman, now think about it, think again. All the crowd, everybody gets quiet. And you got the law keeper speaking up. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses said in the law that this woman, you know what the law says, Master, don't you? You know what the law says, don't you, Jesus? You know what the law says, don't you, preacher? You know what the law, you know what the commandments say, don't you, family worship center? You know what the law says, don't you? Yeah, and I know what grace can do too. And I thank God I'm not living under law today. I thank God I don't have to worry about anybody hurting me, harming me, kicking me out, taking me out, doing anything when I mess up, because I have found grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. So I don't care what the law keepers think. I don't care what the law enforcers think. Not mean that breaking law is okay. No, we're supposed to keep laws, but as I said not long ago, there's not a person in this building that hasn't broken some kind of law. Whether it's on the road, on the job, in church. In church, how can you do that? You can be there in your spirit, having envy and jealousy and malice against people in your own church, breaking the law. And you talk about how somebody else does it because you saw them do it in the physical. You've seen them do it. But we do it in the spiritual. And we're lawbreakers. So you know what we need? We need mercy. We need grace. You better be glad, and I'm glad God don't, every time we do something wrong, point it all out in front of everybody in the whole world, in front of the whole church. Ain't you glad today? because most of us wouldn't come back to church. Can you believe that the pastor said that? Can you believe he did that? Can you believe that Sister Melissa did? Can you believe that Roger? Oh, gosh, can you believe that Linda? See, when you get your eyes on people and failures, you get your eyes off of Jesus, and grace and mercy stops flowing, and all you can do is see everybody's failures. All you can see, okay, just jump in the car with somebody you never ride with for about an hour and ride down to Chattanooga with them, and we'll see how much stuff you can point out about how they drive. Come on. Go to the restaurant and eat with somebody you don't normally eat with and sit there and watch them and eat, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be pointing out something about how they eat. Oh, Lord, help me. You see, church, we got to lose this stuff. Yeah, you're going to have to learn to ignore some people. You're going to have to learn to ignore people's flaws. We're all weird at times. So we do kooky stuff at times. So you're going to have to learn how to get over it. And listen, understand that Jesus wants to heal. He wants to work in people. He wants to enable people. He wants to push us forward. He wants to change us in areas. But the changes that he wants to make, it's not so much outward, it's inside. If we can ever just let him get in here, he starts moving outside. Then things start changing outside. But if you focus mostly on the outwards, then you don't get change on the inside. And this is what God wants for his children. He don't want you focused on your failures, and he don't want you focused on somebody else's failures. They brought her, set her in the midst, and said, "Listen, Master, Moses said in the law, this woman ought to be according to what this woman has done, she ought to be killed right now. She ought to be stoned to death." But the law also said that the man she was with was supposed to be brought with her, and I still hadn't figured that one out. Where was he? They drag her in the midst of all of this congregation of people to humiliate her and to put Jesus on trial. I'm going to say something. I wasn't going to. I thought it couldn't hit my mind the other day, but I think the Lord brought it back to my mind to quicken my spirit to say it. In the 1980s, the Assemblies of God dragged Jimmy Swaggart. Yeah, they did. They dragged Brother Swaggart before the whole world to make a mockery of him. I mean, you don't know what it, and you don't know what he did either, so shut up. Because you wasn't there. Come on. Some people need to shut their mouth. You weren't there. Were you there? How do you know what really happened? How do you know? The news media ain't never going to tell you the truth. Come on. And half of the so-called hypocritical backslidden church ain't going to tell you the truth. And they drug him before the whole world to make a mockery out of him, to condemn him, to make an example out of him. We stand for righteousness, and we ain't going to put up with no kind of sin in our assembly. And what did they do to him? He was reduced down to nothing. He had no friends left. Boy, we're getting somewhere. Half the church world left him. Most of his congregation left. And there was only a handful of people left who understood something about grace and mercy. That's what law does. That's what legal. That's what self-righteous denominational idiots who don't understand grace and mercy. That's how it operates right there. They want to set you in the midst. Point out your sin. They ain't interested in restoring nobody. Those men were not interested in restoring him because their process was not God's process. And when he began to see the light and to defy their man-made stupidity, and God got to dealing with him, said, I'm getting back in that pulpit and I'm going to preach the word of God, and I'm going to believe for God to heal me. I'm going to believe for God to restore me. And he defied them, and boy, they like to lost their minds. Praise God, that's how God operates. God don't need your man-made system. God don't need your man-made rules referring you to a psychologist, referring you to a psychiatrist. You need 10 steps. You need 2 steps. No, you just need Jesus. You need grace and mercy. What? No, you need what he got, a revelation of the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he needed. And praise God, that's what he got. And he ain't never been the same since. And I'm here to defend the man today to say he is a man of God. He is preaching the truth. And if you don't like him, find another church. Because we stand with them. Find out who you are. If you can stand with somebody that fails. If you can stand with somebody that everybody else has laughed at. Stand with somebody that everybody else has made a mockery of. That's where you find out who's who in the church. They set her in the midst. Hey, master. Hey, master. Sarcastic. Master. Supposed to be a teacher, huh? Supposed to know the word of God. Supposed to know the law, preacher. Well, we got something here for you. We got a public example. So let's just see what you got to say about this, if you are who you say you are. And they said the law commanded that such should be stoned. The law. But again, where was the man? Where was the man? I don't know. We don't know. But the law said it's supposed to be for both. Because she couldn't have been committing adultery with herself. She was with a man. And this kind of makes you wonder, it's just supposition. This kind of makes you wonder if it might have been one of their own. Maybe they tried to spring a trap, but the trap sprung back on them. And they put him on the spot. What do you say? The law says this. What do you say? Jesus, what do you say? And that's all that matters. And that's all I want to hear. What does he say? What does he say? He says, grace and mercy said, I forgive. But listen, the scripture says that, look, they're trying, in verse 6 says that they said to him, tempting him. Tempting him. They're trying, listen, to make a mockery of the Lord. Not just the woman, but the Lord. Do you know how many people are making a mockery of the things of God? Who are making a mockery of traditional church services? Who make a mockery of the thing, of the way, you know, that we conduct a real church service today. You know, what we're doing this morning, this is crazy to a lot of the so-called church world. They think we're nuts. Because we don't have this program and that program, and we're not doing this or doing that, and we don't have a pool hall for the kids. And you see, if you don't go along with the majority today, they make a mockery of you. If you don't go along with them in their wrong direction. And they said it, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. There we go. we're going to catch him. We're going to make a fool out of her and him in front of all these people. And we're going to get rid of him and her, and we're going to fill this temple with a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites like ourselves. So they're pressing him. What do you say? And it said that Jesus stooped down on the ground with his finger, and it said he just stooped down on the ground and he began to write something on the dust of the pavement. Imagine dust in the temple, Melissa. Ladies, y'all get that. Thank God there was some dust. You better thank God there was some dust on that ground, because it was used by God to show some people what they really were. God will use some things to show you some things about yourself at times. He stooped down and he began to write on the ground. And that next little clause, it was put there by the translators, but it says, as though he heard them not. So they're pressing him. The law says, kill her. The law says, stone her. And we're here and we're ready and we got the stones. Now you, if you're who you say you are and you stand for the word, come on over here and pick your stone up and help us get rid of her. This is what law does, church. And he stoops down, he just starts writing on the pavement, the Bible says. It don't say what he said, but boy, when I get to heaven, I sure want to find out about this one. He writes on the ground as though he heard them not. So he's ignoring what they're saying. I want to tell you something. For some of you self-righteous, two-faced hypocrites watching on social media, all you do is watch through a camera, a little phone, or a tablet to try to find fault with somebody's preaching. Look out, because God is about to write something to you. I want to tell you, those are some of the worst ones on the internet, social media, looking to point out people's faults and sins and put them on the spot. Don't join in with them. Don't get involved with it. I see it from time to time. People are evil. People are nasty. People are mean as a devil. And they don't care about somebody being restored. They don't care about your soul. That all they want to do is find fault. Point something out that they don't like. If people would listen to the whole gist of things that are said when preaching is taking place, instead of taking one little thing that they walk out that door offended over and get hung up on it, and take the whole message into consideration, it'd be a whole lot different. You'd leave different. People are looking to point out faults. You can point your finger at somebody else who you see breaking a law, but do you break any yourself? They want to make a mockery of her. He stoops down, writes in the ground as though he hears them. He knows what she did. I mean, okay, let's say she was caught in that. Let's say she's guilty. He knows it, but he acts as if he don't hear them. Why? Because he knows their motive. You know, sometimes a preacher knows your motive. You know, Holy Ghost-filled men of God, they can sense when there's wrong motives in people. We got the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. And you can feel it when you got stone throwers. You can feel it. You can see it when there's people in the congregation sitting with rocks, ready, waiting to stone those that they know have done something wrong. I can't believe they come to church. I can't believe she's singing after she did that. I can't believe they're doing it. They're letting them do. Don't they know what they did? Nope. Most time I don't know what anybody's done. Hello? Hello, everybody. We're back. I'm back. I checked the batteries and everything this morning but this. But the stone throwers, people that operate under law, listen, who live by law. It means their faith is not resting in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross, because if it was, they would be a lot less quicker to point out anything in anybody else, because they see their own need for God to cleanse them of their sin. I was saying, I don't know everybody's sin in church, and I don't want to. It ain't my business what you did this week. All you're required to do is confess it and make it right with God when you do, and it's done. You're not disqualified from preaching. You're not disqualified from singing. You're not disqualified from being up here. You're not disqualified from opening. You're not disqualified because you did something wrong. If that were the case, we wouldn't be here this morning, none of us. We couldn't have church. But God is a lot more merciful than man is. And they're doing this, they're tempting him. And he stoops down, he writes on the ground as though he heard them not. It says, so what they did is they press him even harder. They continued asking him, hey, what do you say? Listen, master, talk to us, look at us. I don't know what he's writing, boy. I just want to know one day. I just got a feeling, boy, that it was something about them. Something just tells me that he just might have had to, starting from the eldest to the youngest, he might have started writing their names and out to the side something they had just done. I don't know. Just supposition. Maybe not. Don't matter. But it seems to indicate that he wrote something to confront them. Let me tell you something. This will confront you at times. That's why some ain't reading it. That's why we got Christians that ain't getting in here and reading this like they're supposed to. Because, see, if you read all of it, you'll get confronted at times. There'll be things in there where the word will hit you that says, You don't do this. You don't practice that. You have to forgive people. And see, when you read that and you let it hit your heart and let it sink in, and you let God touch you, you learn how to become a recipient of grace. And see, you're a lot less quicker to go pointing your finger at anybody else. No, Jesus is not ignoring sin. God does not ignore sin in our lives. He won't abide sin, but at the same time, he knows we have flaws and we do things at times that we didn't plan to do, but we did it. It happened. And what we have to do is ask for grace and mercy. We have to go to the throne room of grace, get on our knees and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that I yelled at my wife. I'm sorry that I yelled at my husband. I'm sorry that I cussed at my boss. I'm sorry, Lord, that I was rude to my neighbor. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that I screamed at my kids. And all the parents said, amen. I had Malachi the other day meeting, and I was wore out, tired, just drug down, and was holding him, messing with him, and he was trying to put his hands on everything he could. I said, quit, boy. I didn't hit him. I said, I'm fixing to get your butt, boy. Michaela walked in. She seen me. She too. She said, I said, don't worry. I didn't hurt him. I said, I didn't harm him. You know, you were never harmed, so he definitely won't be. And a few minutes later, I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to be mean. I love that little boy with all my heart. I wouldn't do anything to hurt that little boy. But we all get agitated, don't we? Do you ever get agitated? Have you ever got agitated 5 minutes down the road before you got to church? Have you ever got agitated just when you pulled into the parking lot? Have you ever got agitated just before you and somebody else got out the door of your car in the parking lot? And you say something to one another that you shouldn't say, and then you walk into church and you got a big frown on your face and you can't praise it. Come on, somebody. We need grace and mercy. We need grace and mercy. Look, to melt our hearts, to make us soft. Look, so the scripture says, be quick to forgive. Quick to forgive. Come on, one more time. Quick to forgive. We all should be quick to forgive. The moment something happens to you, the moment somebody does something wrong or whatever, look, forgive them instantly. Put them in God's hand. Don't you wait around, because the longer you wait, the harder you're going to become. That's why when people in church mess up, everybody needs to be quick to forgive. He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. They continued asking him. And he lifted up. He finally got up. He lifted up himself and he looked at them. He looked at them. He said, You boys that are without sin, he who is without sin among you, just you few here, you few little law keepers, you few little finger pointers that just want to go around killing people, getting rid of them, kicking them out of church, getting rid of them because something that they did wrong. You that are without sin, he said, let him cast the first stone. Start throwing. But now, hold on, consider in mind now, just before he lifted himself up and said this, he wrote something on the ground. And that something, whatever he wrote, was something that convicted them. And so with what he wrote on the ground and standing up and confronting them to their face, they had no room for any more condemnation and judgment. All of a sudden, the tables turn. Oh, all of a sudden, the shift changes. And now, no longer is the woman being humiliated, is the woman's sin being pointed out, but old Mr. Self-Righteous Pharisees are getting confronted. I believe God is about to confront the church in these last days. Religion is about to get torn down. God is about to move. And I'm telling you how he's going to do it. He's going to do it through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God, the cross of Jesus Christ. When it is preached with the power of God, it tears down every stronghold. It breaks every chain. It tears down those religious strongholds. It pulls people out of false doctrine. It gets them out of law keeping. It gets them out of all this bunch of legalism. And for the first time in their life, praise God, they can find out what liberty is. They can find out what freedom is. The women don't have to run around. They don't have to be made to take their makeup off. They don't have to be made to wear a dress all the way to the floor. But praise God, you can find freedom. You can find liberty in Jesus Christ, because he ain't worried about how long your dress is or how much makeup you got on or you don't have on. He's looking at your heart. See, we got them in the church today too. We got those same type of people. You know, some of them diehard apostolic people. Woman can't wear makeup. Woman can't do this. Woman can't do that. Then you got the Baptist. Woman can't preach. Woman can't do this. Woman can't do that. They've demeaned the women for so long. No wonder the women are so down. No wonder they walk around sad. No wonder they walk around oppressed. No wonder they walk around beat down. Because they're being led by dictators that don't know the word of God. They're being led by people who claim to be law enforcers, but they don't know anything about grace. Law condemns, grace releases. See, that's all outwards. Outwards. And that's what the Lord is trying to get the church away from. Get to that which affects the inward man. The preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the power of God. It's like a wrecking ball. It'll wreck your religion. It'll wreck your self-righteousness. It'll tear you up from the ground up, my friend. But if you let God have his way, he'll teach you how to be a person that shows mercy to people, shows grace to people, and you won't be standing around with a rock in your hand ready to throw it every time somebody does something wrong. He said, he who is without sin among you, throw your stones. Start throwing them. And now they're speechless. They can say nothing. And that's just the way it ought to be. Speechless. You be like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I need coals of fire put on my lips. I need cleansing. I need changing. See, when you're so stuck and steeped in law, legalism, and rules and regulations and rituals, and you've been doing it all your life the same old way, and somebody comes along and says, hey, that's not the way you do it anymore. Jesus is the new way. The cross is the covenant, not animal sacrifices, not law keeping, not how you dress, how you live, what you put your faith in. He stooped down again on the ground. And it said, they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. That's the way it's supposed to be. Each individual, your own conscience. When the word of God convicts you, that's the way it's supposed to be. You respond. And you let God deal with you. You let God speak to you. Being convicted by their own conscience. Look, here's what happened. They went out one by one. One by one, they start walking away. I just have to believe they were. They come in like this. Come on, let's kill her. Let's put her on the spot. Let's get rid of her. Come on, master. What do you say? But they walk out. Get out of here. The Lord will confront you with your own sin at times. He will. And I tell you this, if you're going to come to this church, there'll be times your sin will be confronted. Not because I'm trying to preach something about your sin or I know, because y'all heard me. I don't know anything about your sin. I don't want to know about your sin, but I know enough, I've been doing this long enough to know this, that when people come to the doors of this church, there are people that have sinned. There's people that's done things that they hadn't even made right with God yet. And that's what this right here is for. Because a good preacher and good preaching helps keep people on the straight and narrow, right? It helps people to stay in a heart of repentance, right? It helps people look to Jesus. Because if we didn't have this, look at the leadership of our nation. Let's just use that for an example. Look at that leadership and look what it's brought to the nation. Now think about the church. If we go that route, if I take on the same liberal thoughts and liberal thinking and theology of Joe Biden and everybody in Washington, this church would be a mess. There'd be women sitting in here kissing on women, men kissing on men, boys trying to be like girls, girls trying, but honey, it ain't gonna happen here, cause I ain't no idiot. I believe the word of God. And look, if we need strong preaching, you need the truth, because sometimes there's things in our heart that hardens us, and when you come through the door, you need to let the power of God convict you and say, oh God, have mercy on me today. Oh God, touch me today. Oh God, help me to leave this place today touched by your power. Help me to walk out changed. Help me to leave and not think about what somebody else has done. Help me to see what I've done. That's what good preaching does. That's what it's supposed to do. It convicts people of their sin. It shows people the way. It shows them the truth. And you see, when that happens, Thomas Clymer ain't trying to do nothing in you. The Holy Ghost will do it in you. You respond, the Spirit of God moves. I know down through the years we've been accused too many times of this. He just tries to make people come down there. You don't know how many times we heard some of that in early years. He's just trying to force people. He's trying to force them to go down there just to have a good showing so they'll look like people, you know, at the altar and be great. He's just trying to control. He's just trying to force. I ain't forcing nobody. It's your choice. If you respond to the Holy Ghost, I tell you this much, you won't waste no time getting down here sometimes. No, you won't. You will not. Because when the Spirit of God begins to stir your soul, and there's things you know you need to let God deal with, you ain't going to be concerned about what anybody in the church thinks. You're just going to make your way down here and say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I need grace, I need mercy, I need help today, I need your power, I need a touch. Oh Lord, forgive me for the thoughts of my heart. God, forgive me for the things I've done. Help me to walk out of this place, Lord, and to show grace and mercy to people. They all left, it said, from the eldest to from the oldest to the youngest. Each one of them, one by one, they walked off. And you know what? That's what I want today for this church. When everybody leaves this place, I want you to walk out of here today and forget about everybody else. And think about yourself. I want you to forget about your husband. I want you to forget about that person that did wrong this week. I want you just to walk out today and concentrate on you and Jesus and let Jesus do what he wants to do in you. When you learn to do that, let me tell you something. You want to talk about a freedom? You want to talk about a joy? I mentioned this to my wife when we went to camp meeting. We go to camp meet. We don't go to camp meet for some show. We haven't been going there for 24 years for no show. We've been going because we like to go and we like to be touched by God. We like to be moved by the Spirit of God. We like to hear the Word of God preached. We want to come back different. I don't want to drive 9.5 hours and come back the same way I left. That's a waste of time. And there were things that were on my mind. There were things that were agitating me. There were things that bothered me at the motel. There were things, you know, just come to your mind. And I'm thinking about Michaela. I'm thinking about Melissa. I'm thinking about Malachi. I'm thinking about this. And I'm thinking about that. And you know, we're in church. And we're in church service. And thoughts are trying to come to my mind. Even in church. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about my wife. Lord, you know she needs it. And Michaela, you know she needs it. And that stuff was coming to my mind. I didn't say I'm dwelling on it. It was coming to my mind. And I said, Lord, forget her and forget her. I ain't worried about them. Lord, I want a touch. I need you to do something. Lord, I come here, and I'm going to tell you, when I did that, there were two particular services. I never forget it. Look, it can happen right here for you this morning. The power of God got to moving, and I found my way to hit that altar and just pour my heart out and say, God, I need your help. Lord, I need some grace. Lord, for I don't care what she's doing. I don't care what she's doing. I want to walk out of this place by the power of God. I want to walk out changed. I want to go back to Tennessee. I want to go back to family worship center filled with the Holy Ghost fire. I want to go back with grace and mercy. Lord, I want to go back strong. And guess what happened? I forgot about her and I forgot about her. And when I forgot about them, guess what I started seeing happen? Something started happening to them. Are you getting it? You get too hung up on when you're married to your children. Let me tell you, you get too hung up on that. The devil will use it to trip you up. You can't change people. You can't do it. Don't try it. Let Jesus do it. Let God, look, put them in God's hands. Let them go. Release them. And we all got touched. We all got changed. We all come back refreshed. But that's what we got to learn to do. There's people that God is going to bring back to this church that have failed. That's done wrong. Put your rocks away right now. Throw them down. throw them out, and get rid of them. And say, Lord, help them. Lord, bless them. Lord, strengthen them. Lord, use them. Lord, just like Brother Samson, he laid his head in the lap of the world. And the devil tried to strip him of his power. And he thought he had him. But Brother Samson had something. He had faith that he could believe that God one more time. Come on, somebody. He said the same words that the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me one more time. Give me the strength, God. I know I made a fool of myself. My eyes have been put out. I said I wouldn't do this, and I did that anyway, and I messed up, and the devil tried to strip me of everything that I got. But God, if you just remember me one more time, oh, just one more time, God. And the Bible said God strengthened that man and gave him the power of the Holy Ghost, and he tore down the columns of that building, and people lost. He defeated every single enemy. The scripture says he defeated more enemies in his death than he did in his life. Here's your spiritual lesson. You want to see some enemies defeated in your heart and life? Surrender to Jesus. Die to yourself. Let go of yourself and live with Christ. Crucified. Paul said, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's the key. And boy, you will find the power to come back. Oh, you'll find the power to be used again. You'll find the power to stand in the front of the very people that you maybe humiliated yourself in front of. You'll find the power of God to stand right up in the midst and preach the word of God without fear, without favor. And you won't have to worry about embarrassment, because the Holy Ghost will wipe it all away. When they left, here's what God wants. I'm about done. They all walked off and left, and the only people left standing in the middle of this crowd in the center was Jesus and the woman. That's what he wants, you and him. Not you and your neighbor, you and him. Jesus and the woman, this is what God wants. One-on-one, not you and your husband, you and Jesus. One-on-one. He lifted up himself and he looked at her and he said, Woman, where are your accusers? Where are they? Has no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. She was a woman who had now made him her Lord. In the midst of this situation, think about this. In the midst of what the devil is trying to do to kill this woman, destroy her, Jesus just saved her. Lord. He reveals why. Because I believe because he gave her grace and mercy. Yeah, I know the law says this, but you're looking at a new covenant. You're looking, he says, at the way, the truth, and the life. You're looking at the one that can forgive you of every one of your sins. And that's how he can let her go free. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. What a story. What a miracle. What a move of God. This is what we need in our heart and life. I like that old song, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too, because your grace and mercy, it brought me through. Listen, before she starts playing, I want everybody to stand. There's an altar call given right here, right now, this morning. I'm not dragging you. I ain't pushing you. I ain't praying you. Your choice. If you need some grace and mercy this morning, this is for you. These altars are open, and it's a place for you to come and meet with Jesus. Look, just you and Him, nobody else. Things you need to let Him do in your heart and life, it's just you and Him. Go ahead. It's just you and Him. Lord, I need more grace. I need more mercy. Some of you others that can pray, come and pray with some of these people. Miss Mildred, would you come? Lisa, would you come? In altar, if you want to come, some of y'all come pray with some people. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, move today. Touch these people, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray today, God. I thank you for your power, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm a son of a wife. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch my brother, Lord. I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit of condemnation and guilt, Lord. And we plead the blood over his soul this morning, God. Liberty over his mind, God, in Jesus' name. He that the Son has made free is free indeed. And we stand on it, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, I ask you to move this morning, God. Lord, touch my brother, Lord. God, move in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bring him up. Bring him up. God, elevate him, Lord, spiritually. Spiritually, physically, financially, every way possible, God. Meet every need, God, that his family has, God. Give him grace. Give him mercy, God. And the power of the Holy Ghost like never before, Lord. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. Come on, church, begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. Now I can see.
Cause your grace and mercy.
Yes. Grace and mercy.
Came down. And rescued.
Come down, Lord. Come down, Lord. Yes. Your grace and mercy. Oh, come on, praise him, church. He wants to show it to somebody this morning. Live in this moment because of you.
I want to thank you
and pray.
Your grace and mercy brought me through, and I'm living this moment because of you.
because your grace and your mercy, oh, it brought me through.
Praise the Lord. Go out praising this morning. Amen. Come back tonight at 5:30 and be ready to have church again.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee, 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.